What's going on, everybody, and welcome to another episode of What's Next with Jess. My name is Jesse Rivera, and this is the podcast. Today on the podcast, we've got a really good friend of mine, Danielle Church, my barber, who works out of Barber Blues here in Sacramento, is on the show today, and we will get to her in just a little bit. Let me catch you up on my life and what's going on. Let's see what's going on. I went to Bakersfield this past weekend. I got invited to a 92nd birthday party. And let me tell you, dude, when you get invited to a 92nd birthday party, you go. You know what I'm saying? You go. Very dear friend of the family, somebody I've known my whole life. And it was really cool going down just for the day. I was just down there for, I was in town for like 3 hours. And I got to see some of my family and I got to see some lifelong friends. So that was a lot of fun. And then I got to talk about this. I saw Bruce Springsteen not once, but twice in the last 7 days. So I saw Bruce last Thursday night at the Chase Center, and then I saw him again Sunday night again at the Chase Center. Oh, my God, Bruce. I was exhausted. By the end of the first night I saw him, by the end of the set, I was exhausted. The second night, I paced myself a little bit better. I stayed hydrated. I got a better night's sleep. And both shows were great. I think I hung in a little bit tougher for the second show. First show, I was exhausted. I was wanting it to end, but it was just so great. Both shows were great. Saw him play a total of like, I think 57 songs over the two nights. A bunch of the songs repeated, but some of the songs did not, because that's what Bruce does. He doesn't always do the same set every night. So even though you saw him one night and you're going to see him the very next night, you're going to get treated to something you didn't get to see the night before. So he did not disappoint. That was a lot of fun. Let's see, what else is going on with me? I just hosted Johnny Taylor and Friends inside the Callback Bar. God, it was such a great show. Johnny Taylor, of course, was the headliner. We had Angel Lopez, Heather Rogue, Josh Means, Holly James, John Mondragon. Dude, John Mondragon did the best set I've ever seen him do. And I was really happy for that guy because he fucking crushed it tonight. He's been doing comedy about a year. I think I heard him telling somebody. And I've seen him at a lot of open mics. And all that hard work paid off for him tonight. I thought he had a great set. A lot of great sets tonight. And a lot of fun. Like always, at the Callback Bar. Hey, speaking of the Callback Bar, I will be back at the Callback Bar on twice in May. May the 1st for the Storytelling Grad Show, and then again on May the 5th for the Sabor a Mi, a comedy show. That's going to be a great show. If you can get some tickets for that and come out, I would love to see you there. Before that, April the 12th, I'll be at Fox and Goose. I believe Taylor Evans is headlining. I'm hosting that night. Taylor Evans is headlining. Scott Powers is featuring. What's that other thing? Not headlining. Featuring. Scott Powers featuring. Of course, that's the show I co-produce with the very talented Jess Harding. What else we got going on? Oh, yeah. April the 20th. The Dope Room is back. Johnny Taylor headlines. I'm featuring. Emma Haney is also on that show. So is Holly James. And, of course, Tina San Lucas. And so that's going to be a great time. And on April 26th, I'm out in Galt. I'm making my Galt debut, folks. April the 26th, River Rock Brewing. Wes Hoffman produces that show, and I know Sarah Ellsworth is on that show with me. I'm not sure who else is on that show. So if you'd like to see me tell some jokes IRL in real life, come on out to one of those shows. I would greatly appreciate it. I think that's it as far as what's new with me. Let's get on to the podcast, because my guest is a very good friend of mine, Danielle Church. She's been cutting my hair for, I don't know, the last 2 or 3 years. At least 3 years, I think. And I think we had a really great conversation. So, thank you for tuning in. And now, please enjoy my conversation with Danielle Church.
I'm ready.
Danielle Church, how the hell are you?
I'm good. Today especially good, you know. I got my massage in, worked out all them kinks, so I'm feeling extra great right
now. You seem super relaxed right now.
I am.
This is the first, I've seen you one other time at an art show, but I think this is the first time we're like interacting with each other, you're not cutting my hair.
Right, at the barbershop. Yeah. It's definitely a different vibe, but I'm excited to be here.
So yeah, I'm excited to have you here. And, you know, a long time ago, like, when I brought the podcast back, and I was just like, because, like, for a long time, like, I only interviewed comics. And then I was like, oh, there's only so many interesting comics in Sacramento. And then I just started interviewing, like, other just interesting artists and other people, and then there was like a moment where I was like, I should have Danielle on, and then I was like, well, I don't know, and then you reached out and you're like, you should have me on. I was like, you're right, I should have you on. I have your art in my house, and I wear your art on my head. Like, you've been cutting my hair for, I think, since the pandemic, since we reopened.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I've been at that particular shop for 3.5 years now, so probably just that long, if not, you know, maybe a little less. But
yeah, I think I went through everybody, like, they've all cut my hair. And then I was getting it cut, is it Trenda? What's their name?
Trenda.
So I was getting it cut with Trenda, and then, like, one time, like, I just, like, I couldn't book with them, and I needed a haircut like that day, and I was like, and you're available, and then I just stuck with you ever since.
Well, I'm not mad about it.
I'm pretty loyal. You know, thank you. In like the last 15 years, maybe like 5 people have cut my hair. Like, once I find someone, like, I just stick with them, and I just want the same person. Cause like, to me, like, going and getting a haircut, it's like, it's self-care, and it's kind of a little bit of pampering. And it's also like a little bit of a therapy session.
No, definitely. I mean, my whole life I've worked, you know, behind a bar or like in some sort of thing where I'm like an, you know, unlicensed therapist, so to speak, you know. So like, I feel like coming in there, like, I'm ready to do work and like get down not only on hair, but like, what's up, man? How you doing?
How long have you been cutting hair, first of all?
Well, I started this journey like January 2017, so it's been a while now.
Okay, so cutting hair wasn't like your first job, like it wasn't your first thing, like right out of high school or whatever then?
No.
No?
Right out of high school, I went to fashion design school.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have a degree in that.
How long did you do, did you work in that? Because you still kind of dabble in that, right?
I never worked in that. I was kind of like burnt out by the time I got out because I was like commuting and working 3 jobs and not really able to like dedicate the time and effort that I wanted to into it. So by the time I was done, I'm like, I'm out of here. And I like picked up and moved to Florida and like started a new life over there.
Did you grow up here in Sacramento, or where was fashion school?
Fashion school is in San Francisco.
Okay, so did you grow up in Sacramento and then go to school in San Francisco, or where did that?
So, from like 2 to 13, I was in Concord.
Okay,
and then 13 on and off until I was like 20 or 30 in Tracy.
Okay. So then you go to school in San Francisco. What school?
FIDM. FIDM. Yeah.
Fashion okay. Institute. Fashion Institute, and then after school you go to Florida.
Yeah.
How long are you in Florida?
I was there for probably a year and a half.
Not very long.
Not too long.
Wasn't what you thought it was going to be?
No, not quite. I mean, it was nice because like I was able to like see some family. I was actually born there. I wasn't there too long, but my dad's side of the family is there, so I was able to kind of catch up with them, but ended up kind of like out on the beach working at a bar under the table at 20 and just like living my best life for a couple months, and then I was over it.
Okay, then from Florida, where do you end up after that?
I came back to Tracy and then reconnected with my high school boyfriend, and he was in the Coast Guard at the time, stationed down in San Diego, and he was hey, you should come down here. We'll get married. You know, and I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. So we moved down there. Because we're married, we get money. So basically rent is free and insurance and all that.
In San Diego?
In San Diego.
What a nice place to live rent free. Gosh.
So I lived down there for about a year.
Uh-huh.
And then we remembered, you know, why we broke up. So I moved back up to Tracy and stayed there for a couple months until I got the itch to go again, and then I moved up to Oregon. And
oh, how was Oregon?
It was an adventure. Definitely a lot good and bad, but ultimately I got pregnant up there, and so we decided to move back home. And I was only there for like 6 months, and then had my daughter.
Wow.
Yeah.
Then when did you end up in Sacramento?
I came to Sacramento like summer, July 2019.
Oh, okay. So it hasn't been that long.
It hasn't been that long, no.
All right. When did you start your barber journey? When did that start? What led you there? Like, why did you start?
Why did I start there?
Yeah, well, how'd you end up there or what?
The roundabout story is I had gotten my hair bleached one time and it was really cool, but it was also like expensive upkeep. So I just decided that I was going to like start doing the color myself, and it worked out and I liked it. And everyone was like, you should do cosmetology. And so I moved up to Reading because the cosmetology school was cheaper by like half the price, and I loved the school. It was great. So if you're ever in Reading, Shasta the School of Cosmetology. They taught me a lot, and I quickly realized, however, that I didn't want to do cosmetology. I wanted to do barbering because I didn't really want to work with all the chemicals and the hair color and the perms and stuff like that. So
yeah, you just smell that all day.
Yeah, not only that, but like I've always just like naturally been able to banter more and like conversate more with guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so I figured it'd be like easier, like less drama, easier in the sense of like I don't have to be stuck with someone for like a 4-hour hair process. It's like, oh, man, 30 right. minutes 30 an minutes hour, at a time. You know, I'll see you in a couple weeks, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like a little bit different. And then like you said, like you're loyal, like a lot more guys are loyal than girls are. You
know? Oh, really?
Well, I feel like girls will go sometimes 6 months, a year without getting their
That's
hair
true.
Done, you know,
and That's
guys
true.
Are like 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
But the
weeks.
Girls' haircuts are so much more expensive though, too.
They are, but they're so few and far between.
Yeah, know? That's true. But that's what I hear about like the girls' haircuts.
There's pros and cons to them all, you know. If you're good at color and you're quick, like it's a great industry, you know. But like I didn't like doing it that much, so like it took me a long time, and like it turned out fine, but like it just sitting there for 4 hours doing the same tedious stuff was eh.
Mm-hmm.
So I like switching it up and like having different heads and bodies not yeah. bodies, but you know,
well, different
like
head shapes, right?
Shapes
and hair
conversation,
right? And know? Hair textures and
right, all of it.
Yeah, yeah. Did you were you always at the same shop that you're at now?
Mm-hmm.
Or did you go to a couple of different shops before you landed at this one?
As far as Sacramento goes,
yeah.
There was like a couple other places I cut hair, but I kind of dove into like catering right when I got here because it's like familiar territory. I've always worked in like restaurants and stuff like that. So I was like, I'll do this just to like make money quick, and then I'll get my feelers out there for a shop that I like. And
okay.
Yeah.
How long have you been at this current shop?
Like 3.5 years now.
So it's going good there.
Yeah.
I love going there. I've been going there probably maybe since like 2016. So and I just love the vibe there. I love the music, and it's just, I don't know. It's like I said, when I go, it's like I look forward to it like all morning, and I go and I hang out with you, and then I feel great afterwards. It's a great feeling.
Well, thank you. Yeah, no, our shop is like really cool. I feel really lucky because, you know, we have a great crew, and there's not like a lot of drama, and it's just like you know, I'm like one of the newest people still like there. So
I was gonna say, is it one of the coveted shops in town? Like, is there places in town where like barbers are like, oh man, I wish I worked there.
I don't know. Yeah, I just feel like I want to work where I work, so I don't know what other. I don't hang out with a lot of barbers, I guess.
Okay, all right, okay. How quickly did you realize, oh man, I'm some of these people's therapists sometimes? Like, did that just come hand in hand with it?
I kind of knew it came with the territory, but it's like, I love doing it, you know? Like, for me, like, I've always felt, like, really good, like, empathetic, and, like, I can, like, help. Not, like, I'm a healer, per se, but, like, I help people, like, think about things in different perspectives, and like oftentimes they're like, wow, I wasn't expecting that, or like, I didn't think about it, you know. And it's always good to make people have those like aha moments and kind of be a contrarian sometimes.
Is it kind of heavy though sometimes? Like, sometimes at the end of the day are you kind of like, whoa man, some people unloaded some shit on me today?
No, I don't think of it that way per se. But I mean, obviously I do go home like exhausted, like after physically touching anywhere from like 10 to 16 people a day. It's like, okay, I just want to go home and chill.
Were you there during the pandemic? Like right, like before and after? And what was that like? Because like, did it just shut you guys down completely?
Well, I actually got hired after the first shutdown.
Okay.
Yeah, so I had actually applied to be there like right when I moved to town, and I didn't have my barber license yet. I was just a cosmetologist, and I interviewed with the owner, and he was like, well, my slogan is real barbers, real shaves, you know, so I can't hire you if you're not a real barber, so go get your barber license and like come back and see me. And I'm like, oh, okay.
And was that like a tall ask? Like, is that something that you just go do like in 2 weeks, or is that like a 6 month thing, or like to get a barber license, is that a complicated thing he was asking you?
No, I mean, I could have got it in like 2 or 3 months, but like I didn't directly go and get it.
Mm-hmm.
And like right after the first reopening, he called me and he's like, hey, I was wondering if you've gotten your barber license yet. And I was like, what? And I was like, no.
Wow, you must have made a really great impression if they came looking for you afterwards.
It did feel really good to kind of, you know, have that phone call. And it definitely kicked me into gear. And he's like, well, right now we're not really using like straight razors. We're not doing shaves or anything. So like, I feel like you would be a great fit for the shop if you want to like come in. We're about to like reopen and like, you know, come and I think you'd be a good fit. Like, let's get you in there. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, like hesitant because like now I'm paying booth rent instead of like getting hourly plus tips or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a different dynamic altogether. But I just did it. I dove in and it worked out perfect. And well, obviously he's like, well, you can come work there, but get your barber license. So I quickly got that and pretty much have been a barber for the last 2 or 3 years now.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's dope. So let's talk about some of your other passions. You're a pretty decent artist. You're a pretty good artist. How long has that been a part of your life? Has it always been a part of your life?
I feel like I've always been pretty creative, crafty, kind of like thinking outside the box, or you know, repurposing or like whatever. And but probably as far as like painting, what I do most now, I went to a festival, you know, at like 27 and did some psychedelics and saw like people doing these amazing like murals, like live art, and just seeing like how in the world are they like coming up with this stuff. And it was just so inspiring to like watch them for like hours doing it. And so I like decided one day I would get some paints and a canvas and like buckle down and just like paint some stuff, and totally fell in love with it.
So before that, were you not into painting? Like, did you just doodle? Like, did you paint in high school or?
I mean, I had like art classes in high school that I like painted you know, like assignments were painting, but I was also doing oil pastel or charcoal or, you know, like all the different art mediums. So it wasn't like paint specific.
Right.
So I was kind of just like, I'm going to do this, you know, but it didn't really come until I was like 30.
Wow, that's so interesting. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like something that like you were just passionate about. Like an artist I had on here a couple months ago, like they were like, I think they were like in kindergarten when like their mom noticed, oh, that's kind of interesting what you just did. And then like their mom like encouraged them, like, what if you tried it with this, or what if you tried it with this? So it was just like, you know, it was constantly being fed to them. Well, not, but like in a good way, like it was something that they showed interest in, but you didn't do it until like you were like, do you think you were transitioning or something in your life that you were looking for something? Like, do you think you could have been, do you think like you could have gone to that festival when you were 21, had the same experience, but not have been looking for something like that yet?
I think probably. I definitely think like about that age, like I've talked to quite a few like people and they feel about 27 to 30 is like when you start kind of like wanting to really figure yourself out and like figure out what your passions are. And like, you know, like you're kind of transitioning from 20 to 30 and like things are different, you know, like things become a little different and like not always. And it doesn't have to be a bad thing, you know. And so I think just like trying new things and being more open-minded. And I think in my 20s, I was just more like focused on everything outside of me. And at 27, I started focusing more on like everything inside of me.
Is that when you started like, because and I always get the phrases confused as far as like vegan and vegetarian, but I know like, so you do not eat meat, or you do eat, like, I don't, you don't eat meat, right? Or
no, so I am vegan.
You're vegan,
so it's like no animal products at all.
Okay, no animal products at all. And so is that about the same age where you started doing like eating differently as well?
No, that came a little later. That was like September, October 2018.
Okay.
So it's been like 5 or 6, I don't know, 5 years-ish.
Uh-huh.
And it's great. It works for me, you know. I've always kind of been back and forth between like vegetarian, not vegetarian. But I honestly felt the biggest difference in my body when I cut out dairy.
Mm. Okay. All right. Let's go back to the painting. Okay. So you start painting and like at what point, like, is it at first, is it just for pleasure and you're just having fun with it? And like when did it go like from a hobby to like something like you were really serious about?
Probably after I moved to Sacramento. I just like started, like, I think during the pandemic, I guess, like started like painting because, like, you know, we were out of work and stuff, and someone like bought one from online, and then someone asked for like a custom something or other, and then, you know, it became aware that like people liked what I was doing. So then I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll look more into like an art show or, you know, other opportunities to show it.
What was it like? Do you remember the first piece that you sold? Like, what was it like when you got that message that, like, was it even for sale and somebody just reached out and said, I want that?
It was for sale. I'm trying to think. I mean, I don't know if I did. I was like, oh, it's for sale. I think I just put like, oh, I just finished these pizzas. And someone's like, oh, how much, you know? But man, I can't even remember like what it looked like at this point.
And when somebody asked you how much, were you even like, did you even know like how much to charge?
Not really. But I just kind of like, I mean, the way that the art math like is hard for me to like charge people, because I don't know, it doesn't make sense to me, because it ends up being like, like the one that I gave to you, like that size canvas normally would be like 200-ish, depending on the detail, give or take, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the other one, they charge it like 4, 5, or 6 more times than that. And I'm just like, I just can't like sell my art that much more than it, you know, like, I feel like I'm charging a lot because I just want, like, people to have my art, you know, so, yeah. Like, to be like, oh, this is $1,000 or something, like, just seems like a little bit crazy to me, but.
Have you had other artists tell you you're selling it for too cheap?
I have, and then I've also had the other.
But do you like run into the thing where like this isn't like when you're selling a piece of art, you're like, this isn't my full-time job. Like, this is like my second, like, this is a hobby. Or how do you see art? Do you see it as a hobby? Do you see it as a lifeline? How do you see it?
Well, it definitely doesn't really pay the bills, so right. It's definitely more of like a when I feel called, when I get inspired.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice to have like some, you know, like, oh, I got a show come up, so it just kind of forces me to like make sure I dedicate some time to that creativity, because even though I want to do it, like, it's easy to get distracted with life, you know.
Yeah. How did so during the pandemic, when everything was shut down, I know like a lot of people, because I'll just say like I struggled like mentally, like it was rough, like to be completely isolated. Do you think that it took the isolation of the pandemic like to help bring out the your love of art?
I definitely feel like it benefited me in a lot of ways, because I did like get more into art. I learned how to play guitar. I started writing music, and you know, like just kind of like dabbling in different areas and just utilizing my time to like make myself better and be able to express anything that I was feeling because of that isolation.
Mm-hmm. So like I'm learning a lot about you right now. So like all of this stuff that like to me, the stuff that in my eyes like defines like who you are, like who I see you as a person, like it's stuff that you've really only embraced in like this most recent chapter of your life, like the art, the being a barber, and even the being a musician. Like it was all stuff that like in your mid-20s you weren't even doing any of this yet.
Mm-mm.
That's crazy. Like, do you ever think about that? Like, where you're just like, man, like I've found three of the things that make me happiest just in this last most recent part of my life.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to think about. Like, mentally, I feel like I was a lot more. I don't know. It was more about socializing and like boyfriends and, you know, just not really myself. It was just like everything around me, and so it was definitely nice to like be like, now I know like who I am, what I'm passionate about, like what I want to put time and effort into, and it's definitely nice to know those things versus like looking back and seeing myself be so lost, you know.
Did you feel lost?
I think so, because that's why I kept like picking up and going, like, this doesn't feel right, you know. And so I was just constantly on the move. I think just always looking for something different.
Right. And then you started finding these things, and now like, do you feel like, how do you feel about Sacramento? Do you love it here, or is there like another place that you feel is calling you?
I definitely love it here. It's serving its purpose. It's very like rich in culture and art, and you know, I see so much music, I dance, like I sing, like I look at art, like everything I want for myself is like easily accessible here, and I love it for that. But I do like ultimately, you know, want to like live on some land and like have a retreat space and, you know, get certified in a bunch of like woo-woo stuff, and just like have a farm and you know, live that life. But not now. I'm not ready for it now.
Right. So when I got that piece from you, you were part of an art show over off of Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a show that you helped put together, or is that something that you were a part of? What's going on? Tell me about these art shows that you've participated in, or you've helped curate, or.
I haven't helped curate anything as of yet.
Okay.
Not in the same sense. But it's the Bunker Underground Art Social Club. And they do, when I first started going to them, they did it like 3 times a month. They do like second Saturday and the last Friday and Saturday of the month. And they have like 12 artists and like a live band. And it was just a lot of fun. And I just went there at first and I was like, hey, how do I get on these walls? He's like, oh, just let me know when you want to. And basically after that, I'd like show every couple of months. And it's just a lot of fun. It's a great community. So I keep doing it.
When you first asked, how do I get on these walls? Did you have enough pieces to fill up a wall yet? Or did that like motivate you to get some pieces done?
I feel like I've been sitting on some pieces for a while. So I definitely had some stuff to put up there. But, you know, nothing's ever done till you sell it.
Oh, is that the way you look at it?
Yeah.
Okay. How many, do you work on several pieces simultaneously or does it?
Yeah, I do. I usually have 2 or 3 going at a time.
What's the longest you've ever spent working on one?
Well, I'm never doing it like...
Like, I know, like, right, but is there stuff that, like, you've been doodling on this for months or years?
Oh, absolutely. I'd say, like, one of my first painting, I don't think I've ever, or I wouldn't say it's my first painting. It's my first painting that, like, I did while on a little mushrooms.
Okay.
And so, it's kind of more psychedelic and deep and, like, has a lot more depth to it. And I'm still working on that, and I started that when I was, like, 30. Right now I'm working on one that, I started probably like 5 years ago. I'll just like get re-inspired because I feel like because I do more abstract, like it's all like whatever energy I have in that moment. And so if I'm not in that energy, it's hard to go back to that piece and finish it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have to, because like, and I've heard this argument back and forth, like some people say that when they create, they got to get into this place that just really takes a lot of energy from them. Do you feel that way or do you feel good after you've been creating or do you feel drained?
I feel pretty good after I've been creating because I feel like I'm letting go of like what doesn't serve me anymore and, you know, just expressing good and bad. And so I feel like if anything it's more like self-care and therapy, so I typically feel better. Yeah.
Okay. when so you said you have an art show coming up, but this won't drop in time for that. What else is coming up, not after this one but in the near future?
In the near future, well, I have one in May. It'll be the last Saturday in May also. Oh, wait. No, April. I lied.
Okay.
Last Saturday in April. And then I have one in June at the Trade collab downtown on K, the coffee shop.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'll have my art up there for a month, and then I'll have, like, a show day.
What are these groups that I've seen you putting together where you're is it like a woman's group or what is it like that I've seen you?
Oh yeah, my women's gathering.
Yeah, what are those?
So me and a friend kind of put together, she does like the singing bowls, and I'm really like passionate about like women and like sisterhood and just kind of like getting to the roots of like what we used to do. And so we decided to put together this thing, and so I create a bunch of like food that's like for the time of that year, like what's in season, and create like an elixir, and then we'll do like a cacao ceremony and do like a craft of some sort, and then we'll end the night with like a sound bath, and it's really beautiful. Yeah.
Where'd you get the idea for this? Like where did this originate from? Is this from the festivals you've gone to over the years, and you just kind of put like, you just like, this is the kind of experience I want, and put it together?
Yeah, I mean, definitely there's like, you know, all sorts of workshops at those places that like kind of give you an idea of like how to kind of do stuff or like interesting things that would be beneficial for people. And then like going to different sound baths and just kind of like, it's such a nice like way to end the night. And so
what's a sound bath?
Well, this particular one's like big singing, like crystal singing bowls, and they, you know, kind of do the thing around the rim, and it's like, whoa.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, know? Yeah.
And so it's that, and like chimes, and like other people do like, say like an ocean drum or different little bells and things. So like you can kind of make it as simple or as grand as you want. Like another one I've gone to, they do more like Native American sounds. So they've got flutes and they've got drumming and they've got all sorts of stuff. So there's a bunch of different ways to go about it, but yeah, it's really fun.
How many of those have you done now?
Oh, we started in October. So October, November, December, January, we skipped February and then March. So five, I think.
Oh, so it's a monthly thing.
Yeah, it's a monthly thing, yeah.
All right. Okay. And that's a women's group, so I'm not going to ask if I can go to that. I probably wouldn't have gone anyway. I don't know, with my time. It's like, I'm either like doing a podcast, doing comedy, or getting a haircut. Like, I don't know.
Well, one of these days, maybe we'll do like a co-ed one and you can come and check it out.
Yeah, yeah. That works. That would be dope. What, you also board dogs or you do you, yeah. How many jobs do you have?
I don't limit myself, let's say that. I take any opportunity that makes sense.
So you're just a hustler.
I am, yeah, you know. Yeah, so right now I have like four at the house. I'm getting a fifth one tonight and then the carry on. Yeah.
Okay. What, you said that during the pandemic you learned how to play guitar?
I did.
I think I've heard some...
I'm not going to lie. I'm not like a great...
But I think I've heard music that you've done or a song that you sang. What did I see on your Instagram maybe?
Yeah. I mean, I'll post like covers of stuff or like I have some like originals up there. I just posted one on YouTube. Actually, the place I show art at, the Bunker Underground, they have a Bunker Records and... They produced a song for me not too long ago, so that was fun.
So they do. So talk about this place a little bit more, the Bunker.
Mm-hmm.
What are they, a collective, and they just do a bunch of cool stuff, or what? Who runs the Bunker? What do they do?
Todd Temby is like the main guy, and he has like a recording studio in the back, to where like he does like bands and stuff like that. But then there's like. You know, a room where you can watch them, a band room where they play, and then like three gallery rooms, and they just have like, yeah, it's kind of like a collective little thing, but it's just theirs, you know. It's just like collectively we come together and make this event happen, and
mm-hmm.
It takes, you know, all of us to kind of get it going and making it work, and so it's a fun experience.
And like with the music, is it the same thing as the art? Like it's the, you got to be in the mood for it. Like it's not something that you pursue every day.
It's not something I pursue every day. I definitely find that like with music, I'm like more inspired in like warmer months, and like when with paint, it's more winter months. So I kind of like rotate with the seasons.
Okay. And right now we're kind of like in the middle of seasons.
Yep. So now I'm like, I want to try something new. Or actually, I've been really wanting to dabble back into my fashion design degree and put it to use. So.
Oh, really?
I've got some projects in the works.
You got some ideas?
Mm-hmm.
How long has that been in your head?
Well, mainly I'm just like kind of repurposing blankets and making really cool jackets and stuff like that. So it's been like an idea in my head for a couple months, and I'm just now starting to kind of start executing.
I'm gonna need a really cool jacket next year.
Okay.
When I finally have like lost all the weight, and like I think I'm like gonna finally settle on a size that I'm gonna stay that size for like more than 6 months.
Yeah.
I think that'll be next year. I hope. I don't know. What are you going to say?
I was going to say, find like a really cool like blanket or material that you want, and we'll make it.
Oh, and you'll just make the jacket? You'll just make a jacket out of something?
Yeah.
You could do that?
Uh-huh. Even an old jacket.
Okay. No, I will definitely do that. So, I noticed like about your hair cutting schedules, like you get like consecutive days off, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's an ideal day off for you? Like, do you wake up in the morning and like, are you gonna like, do you decide, am I gonna paint, am I gonna like, what do you enjoy spending your time with?
It sort of depends on like what is going on, you know. So like this week I have an art show, so tomorrow my day is gonna be like, you know, household chores, and like while everything's going down, I'm gonna be like painting and like finishing up some stuff, maybe starting some new stuff. And That way Saturday I have some interesting stuff I can bring just to add. I got two walls at the show this time.
How many pieces are you going to have? Oh, do you know yet?
I don't know. I think right now there's probably like 15 up. So maybe, maybe try and have like 17 or 18.
Oh my gosh. Are they all finished? Are they all ready to go?
12 of them are, but I'd love to like make some funky stuff tomorrow or like finish up. Of course I have like several canvases that I could work on too. And finish if I want, if I'm in that energy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Are there any, other local artists that you've collaborated with or that you've worked with often?
Not in painting yet. That's kind of hard because I feel like everyone has a style, right? And so it's a little different unless you're doing like murals, collaborating on canvases.
Oh yeah. 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 Cause it's like, it's interesting. Cause like with comics, like you can get together and write, you know, or you could like get together and like just go over each other's material. But like, there's not really like a group aspect to being an art.
I did actually at the bunker one time throw like an art meetup. And so a bunch of us like came there and just worked on art, like together, but not like on each other's art.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of like, you can like kind of work in studio together, but you're not, I mean, maybe if you got some bigger canvases or even small ones, I don't know. I don't know why there's no art collaborations going on right now. I definitely wouldn't mind it.
Yeah, there should be more of that.
Right.
Yeah. When you first started painting, like what was some of the things that inspired you the most? Was it being a mom? Was it being an artist? What was really pushing you to create?
I feel like the first one I painted that I'm like, you know what, I actually like doing that, was after a relationship breakup. And it was like a 6-month relationship, but it was to a Scorpio. And so it was very intense, good and bad. And so once we broke up, I was like, I'm going to paint. And I like painted something. I'm like, actually, this is kind of cool. I think I could like get really creative with this. And so I kind of just, nothing, it's just always whatever my mood was that day, like nothing in particular. Not, I mean, probably being a mom on some days, probably being in a great relationship on some days, probably being in a crappy one on another. So
right,
you know, it just depends.
Mm-hmm. The painting that I bought of yours, does that have a title?
It's called Making My Own Luck, I believe.
Okay. And do you remember anything about that one in particular, like the mood or the emotion?
So that one in particular actually started off as like a triptych piece, like three different canvases that were all kind of connected, and I was having a hard time finishing it. And so a friend of mine actually was like, why don't you try like separating them and see if like something comes of that. And so I sat and I stared at it for a while, and I like turned it to the side, and I think at that time I was like having some like daughter, you know, ups and downs. So I like found this like image and I like stared at it and I was like, you know, I want to like recreate this and like paint, but like add some darkness and then some depth. And then actually like once I started drawing the crows and I looked into the symbolism of like the two crows, and it was actually like kind of like making your own, like two crows is good luck, and because of like how her hands were, kind of like creating them from her palms, like almost out of magic. It's like making my own luck. So
do you think that the person in the painting is a reflection of you, or is it a reflection of somebody else, or
it's probably more of like my inner child.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Who do you think, like going with like that whole inner child, which voice of Danielle do you think is the most artistic? Do you think it's the inner child? Do you think it's the person in their 20s? Do you think it's the person in their 30s that found themselves? Who do you think gives you the most inspiration?
I feel like my inner child and like who I am now are very tightly linked. I feel like the person, like my 20s and my teen like that, those two generations of myself were pretty tightly linked, but I'm the first quarter and the last quarter so far, like, we're hand in hand. I feel like we're a lot alike. I remember, like, looking back on my, once I found this version of myself, I remember looking back on my kid self and, like, man, I was a, you know, a hippie, creative, like, I loved love. I was just, like, down for whatever, like, super open-minded, like, created all the time. I was outdoors all the time, you know, and that's, like, more of what I am or what I strive to be now versus, mm-hmm. like, in my teens and 20s, it was, like, oh, my boyfriend this, or, oh, this job that, or, like, oh, you know, it was just, like, drama.
Like your identity was attached to something else?
Something else, yeah.
Right.
And now it's, like, more about, like, what I love to do.
I think, like going back, like, on where you started that conversation, like, where you started that phrase of, like, how now you're kind of hand in hand with your inner child, like, so many psychologists would say, like, yeah, that's exactly what we're trying to do as adults, is, like, trying to, like make peace or appease, or, like, realize that child, like, that innocence, like, that's what we wanted to be. And then, like, exactly what you said, like, we get away from that, but then we find our way back home. And, like, you nailed it. I think your journey's on the right path right now, it seems like. It does it seem like that for you?
It definitely does. I mean, definitely, you know, I have my ups and downs, but I feel like I'm going in the right direction. And either way, I feel like, you know, whatever's supposed to happen happens, and whatever's not, it's not. And so it's like, if you stress about everything, mm-hmm. it's just kind of pointless, because there's only so much you can control.
It's very pointless, and then you just spend your time stressing and you don't really spend time enjoying.
Right.
And we're here for such a short amount of time, like, we need to, like, have some fun and, like, just live for ourselves, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the grand scheme of things, it's just, like, such a small blip.
It is. You've talked to me a lot about, like, these festivals you like going to. Do you want to talk about, like, some of the festivals that, like, what goes on at these music festivals, and, like, when did you first, like, start enjoying going to them?
I went to my, like, first one, probably, I went to one in Florida, but it was, like, a shit show. Weed isn't legal there, so, like...
That's so weird, huh?
I got arrested for the first time in Florida at a festival.
For when weed?
I was, like, yes, and it was, like, this hippie chick from, like, next door had, like, this rainbow dress on and, like, this big elastic belt with a gold butterfly, and she's like, look at this dress I found, isn't it great, blah 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 blah. And my roommates were like, oh, let her hit the bowl, and I'm like, oh, okay. So I hand her the bowl, and then she sees, like, a golf cart of cops driving up, and so she hands it to me and tries to start, like, walking away, and they're like, you come back here. And, like, I honestly don't think I knew. Like, I was this, like, ignorant of, like, Florida laws that
yeah, weed
was,
so this, like, Californian in Florida. Yeah.
And so he's like, what do you have in your hand? And so I, like, show him the pipe with weed.
No, it's just,
like,
weed.
Yeah, like, it's weed, okay? And so he's like, well, who are you? Like, where's your IDs at? And she tries to run. And he's like, oh, well, I wasn't going to arrest you, but because she tried to run, I have to arrest you both. I'm like, I didn't try and run. Like, I'm right here. I was literally going to get you my ID. Like, I don't even know this girl. Like, uh-huh. What's going on? And she's like, we're, like, in the, like, holding cell. And she's like, oh, I can't believe they did this. And I'm just like, do not talk to me. Like, what the heck? So at 27, I went to, like, my first real festival where I wasn't in a jail half the time. And,
Was that here in California then?
It was.
Is there, like, one do you go to every year, like the same one, or do you just find different ones?
Yeah, no, there's definitely some. I have my favorites. There's one in Piercy in July called Northern Nights, and I've probably gone to that one the most. And it's, like, on the river in the Redwoods. It's got, like, great workshops. Great, like, art installations, a lot of great artists, Silent Disco, So it's just a lot of fun. It's like a great community, and it's still pretty intimate compared to like a lot of bigger festivals. And then in May this year will be the third year of High Vibe, and it's just so great. It's a dry festival, so there's actually no drinking. You know, you can do other things, I guess, if you'd like, smoke weed and all that. And they have phenomenal workshops too, great food. It's like mostly like organic and like local, and it's just like a lot of, it's real community vibes, and it's still intimate, so who you see yesterday you're probably gonna see tomorrow, and like, so it becomes just like,
it's like a cruise ship.
Yes, it's like a cruise ship, but on land, but on and land, nature, yeah. Like trees, yeah, around you, and it's just so, it's so nice to like, because you know everyone there is just like there with good intention.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's a good feeling to know that like where you're at, everyone wants to be there, and they kind of planned on being there. They went out of their way to be there, so no one's gonna be there acting like a dummy.
Right. Yeah, and then you cut out the alcohol aspect. You don't get like the drunk dummies, you know. And like, you know, there's a time and place for it, but like, it's a beautiful thing to kind of have a weekend where that's not like imposing any energy onto the like authentic vibes, you know.
Yeah, and it gets expensive too, like the booze gets super. That's why I stopped drinking. It wasn't like I was just like, I can't keep spending money on this. Like,
I, you know, I spend probably like $200 on coffee, and if I became a drinker too, like, I just can't imagine. Yeah. Well, like, I would go broke.
I started buying records, and then I was like, I can't have two hobbies. I was like, so I I just keep buying records, because like they stick around, and
yeah, they won't kill you.
No, they won't. We haven't talked about one of your other passions is like, you love to cook.
I do love to cook.
You just nodded like, I do love to cook. And has that always been, so have you always loved to cook, or did you really jump into loving to cook when you started eating like a different type of diet and you're like, well, I'm gonna have to make it myself?
Honestly, I definitely got more creative once I became vegan, but I've always sort of loved to cook. Like, I remember even just like being a kid, like getting home from school and like making a big batch of some sort of pasta for me and my friends, and like always just kind of like, I'm a Cancer, you know, it's what we do. We like to cook, we like to nurture. So like, I've always enjoyed it.
Cooking for friends is like, do you love watching people eat what you've cooked?
I do, yeah. For the most part, I get like mostly praise, but you could tell the faces that are like,
probably now, like, you're probably like cooking vegan for people that aren't vegan.
Yeah.
Or vegetarian. Did I say it wrong?
No.
Vegan.
No,
okay. Vegan, yeah. But like, do you run into that where you're like trying to convince people like, this is good, you got to try it?
Well, yeah, and I hate like having to convince people, because it's like, you would eat this if it had meat in it, so just like,
yeah,
eat it without the meat, it's fine, like, you'll be okay, like, you're not gonna die, you know. And it's like, oh, well, why don't you eat meat then? I'm like, that's literally, that will make me sick, but you eat vegetables, so like, you can eat these vegetables too. Or like my daughter, when I first went vegan, it's like, oh,
did
like,
she think,
oh,
it was the end of the world?
Well, she was just like, oh, that's fake. I'm like, Daylan, broccoli is still broccoli, whether I'm eating it now or whether I'm eating it then, like, it's broccoli, you know. She didn't understand that now I'm eating the same thing, but because I am now a vegan, like, that same thing must be fake.
Yeah.
Because the meat I eat is fake, you know, or whatever, so.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what was the last meat you ate?
You know, the one thing I did enjoy and sometimes miss is not even the meat per se, but buttered chicken. I love the sauce.
Oh, okay.
It's a texture meat for me. It's always kind of grossed me out, but I felt like I had to do it, right, for protein. Like, this thing that we all hear is like, meat for protein, but like, there's so many other ways to get it, luckily.
What are some, I know you love to cook, and like, you make great food, but what are some of the, can you name a couple of local places that cater to the vegan community, where like, you can go to and you're like, I can order a great meal here?
Yeah, absolutely. Bambi Vegan Tacos on 18th and I in Midtown's like so good. They don't use like a lot of processed food in there, so it's all like, you know, mushrooms and like just real food, you know. Mm-hmm. They think they have like one little like chicken, like buffalo Caesar chicken taco that might be like a wheat processed meat, but it's really good. But yeah, it's all, I love Bambi Vegan Tacos. And then outside of that, like, I feel like it's just other restaurants that have like vegan options, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Thai for today. Oh my gosh, bomb diggity.
Where's that?
It's on 24th, right before you get to Broadway coming from like Fruit Ridge or so.
Okay, I've seen it. Well, I drive Lyft. I've seen everything in town, but I know I've seen that shop. I was gonna check to make sure it didn't stop recording. So that's what I'm looking at. I'm not like checking. I was making sure it didn't stop recording because it stopped recording one time and then we didn't. It was a horrible experience.
Oh no.
Yeah, no, but we're fine. Okay, but we are turning the corner. We're gonna wrap this up, and I do this segment at the end of the podcast called Five Easy Questions. They're easy, I promise.
Okay,
okay, but are you ready for them?
I'm ready.
Okay. Question number one is, who or what inspires you?
Who or what? I think like music mainly inspires me. Like, I love to dance, I love to sing, and I love to make art, and I feel like music like goes hand in hand.
Do you have music playing when you're painting?
Absolutely, yeah.
Does it have to go with the mood of the painting, or can it be anything?
It usually definitely dictates the mood of the painting, so yeah. I do like to pick whatever I'm feeling so it can kind of resonate.
Right, so you'll be painting and you're like, oh, this music's got to change because the mood is changing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you like to paint at night or in the day, or does it matter?
I typically get more creative at night, but
right?
I try and force myself in the day a little bit.
Are you a morning person?
No.
I'm annoying as fuck in the morning.
No, I'm definitely a night owl. I have to force myself to, like, go to bed kind of early. Uh-huh. I mean early as in, like, midnight. But
midnight's not bad.
No, it could be worse.
Yeah.
And it has been. So.
Do you get bad? Because you get 3 days off consecutive, right? Do you get bad about staying up late?
No, not really. Like, sometimes I'll stay up till 1, maybe, like, last week I stayed up till 2, but other than that, like, I typically don't.
What are you doing? Are you YouTubing? Are you...
I am, like, YouTubing, or, like, watching a show, or, listening to a podcast, or, playing with the dogs, you know, just... hanging out. Like, sometimes I'm painting, sometimes I'm playing guitar.
Do you love to get high and play with the dogs?
I love to get high and do most things. but yeah, I mean, it's always fun playing with the dogs. They just love me.
Okay. Luckily. All right. Question number two. What are you currently binging? And it doesn't necessarily have to be like a series, right? It could be like a podcast or a book. But like, what's like some kind of content right now that you just can't get enough of? Like, you're just like, oh, I can't wait to dive back into this.
I feel like I'm not really binging anything right now. But... I think what I'm most excited about watching right now is The Walking Dead. The new spinoff has been kind of interesting to see.
Did it start already?
Yeah, it's like 5 episodes in, so I think there might be one more
episode. So it's a spinoff of The Walking Dead. Is it one of the characters? Is it like a prequel, a post, or like lateral universe? What's going on with
it? It's post. You know, kind of going with similar timing, but it's based off of like the main guy Rick, who had disappeared in like one of the seasons, and then Michonne, who thought he might be alive and went looking for him in one of the last couple seasons. So now they're both back in the spinoff for like, I think, 6 episodes. But yeah, I love zombie post-apocalyptic stuff. So
okay. This next question is kind of serious, a little bit different tone. What are you afraid of?
I don't No, I think honestly, like, deepest like fear is that, you know, my daughter just like hates me forever.
She won't.
I'm crossing my fingers, but you know, teens, they
did you have intense. Good relations with your parental figures?
Yeah.
But did you go through phases where like, oh, I hate them?
No, not really.
Okay.
I grew up like totally loving and appreciating my mom, so like I feel like it's definitely a different dynamic with me and my daughter for sure.
Okay. I'm sure she does not hate you.
One day I think she won't, but it's like the fear, right?
Right.
I try not to think about it too much.
Okay, I get it.
I don't fear much, but that is like a little tiny fear.
Yeah, that would be kind of scary. This next one's kind of fun. If you were on death row, what would your last meal be?
That's a good question, but probably there's a vegan sushi place in like Oakland or Berkeley, their border, you know, it's so close, called Tane Vegan Izakaya Sushi, and it's like eyes closed, mouth watering, savoring every flavor. Like, it's so good. I've never probably closed my eyes and been like, so good. Like, in a restaurant
before. How did you find that place?
Actually, I went to Hawaii a couple summers ago, and it was there. And so I went there, and it was so good. And so I came back and went to show a friend. I'm like, look at the vegan sushi there. It's so good. We got to go to Hawaii just to have it. And I noticed that there was one, like a sister store in Oakland. And I was like, hell yeah, we don't got to go to Hawaii to have it again.
Yeah, so. It's a lot more affordable.
Right? Yeah.
Right on. Okay, last question. What's next? Like, what's your next big endeavor? What's your next big project? Or what's next on your agenda?
That's an interesting question because I feel like so in transition right now and like kind of like I don't know what's next, you know, but I know it's coming. I know it's around the corner and I know like an opportunity of some sort's going to present itself. And so I'm trying not to like put too many thoughts in the air of what it could be. But
kind of. That's cool. And you're cool with not knowing what's next.
I'm cool with it. Like, I obviously have, like, life goals, right?
Right.
Like I said, I want to end up on, like, some land, have, like, a retreat space, maybe mm-hmm. some Airbnb situation, like, farm, that kind of thing. And so, that's, like, the end goal. And so now it's just, like, what do I need to do? Like, so, like I said, I want to do, like, woo-woo stuff there. So maybe get, like, a certification in Reiki or sound healing and... or hypnotherapy or something of the nature so that like I can hold these retreats and like give people different modalities to kind of heal and work through stuff that, you know, we all need to work through.
I think that's a cool spot to be in though, to like not be in a rush to like what's next and like just being like let the universe take you to what's next. I think that it takes a lot of like being sure of what you have right now to not be worried about what's next and just like let the universe take you where it's going.
Yeah, I mean there's a certain extent of like wanting but also just like surrendering, you know, and just like, all right, show me how it could be, show me how good it can get, you know, and like I don't want to put restrictions on it, so you show me, you know. And so I'm just kind of going with the flow right now. And when it's time to take the reins, I know I'll know. And, you know, then I'll head in that direction. But right now it's kind of like floating, kind of seeing like what comes to me.
That's dope. Danielle, thanks for coming on the podcast today. And this was a lot of fun. It's always great talking to you. Normally we only chat like about once every 4 weeks, but... this week we got to chat. When did I see you? Saturday?
Was that when
I got my haircut? How's my hair look?
That's looking good.
Thank you so much. I love coming and getting a haircut. This was a great conversation. I really enjoyed chatting with you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I had a good time.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye.